Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
At starting 2015, it would be a really great way to do it is this way, is asking good questions of the Bible, approaching it hopefully in a fresh way, and kind of going from there. And so Doug, I think last week, laid a really great foundation, and this week we're going to kind of ask some more questions, and then next week get extremely practical and go from there. I'll give you more information as we go along. So last week, let's start talking about that. We considered the Bible's position in our lives. So Doug walked us through a number of points where we remembered that the scripture is a revelation of God's character. When we look at nature, that's a general revelation of who God is. We're amazed at his majesty and his glory when we see the mountains and the rivers and the streams and all these kinds of things. But in the scriptures, we see details about who God is, what God is like. And much of that is the books that we have written about Jesus. As we look at Jesus, we look at God. And the Bible, its whole narrative, points to this person of Jesus. So the Bible is a revelation of God's character. It's inspired by God. It's not just human writing. It's human writing inspired by God. And so it holds truth. There's no false way about it. The Bible is also authoritative because of this. Because it's the revelation of God's character, because it's inspired by God, it has authority in our lives, more so than an Archie comic would, more so than our own perspectives of the world. The Bible has some authority because it is written with a divine intent, divine spirit. The scripture or the Bible is also sufficient, meaning that we don't need to add anything to it or take anything away from it. That the canon that we have, that we call the Bible, has everything that we need in terms of understanding who God is, and there's plenty to explore within that. And Doug also talked about how the scripture illuminates and guides our lives in tandem with the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit isn't over here in our prayer lives and the Bible is over here in our Bible reading lives, but in fact, they are together, that the text is infused with the Spirit and that it illuminates our path. It gives us wisdom as to who God is. It gives us wisdom and clarity on how to live, and the Bible is a beautiful thing because of that. So last week was all about what the Bible is and why it's important. This week, we want to start talking more about how we interact with the Bible, how we interact with the Bible. So last week, at the end of the message, Doug challenged us, if you're here, you'll remember, to read the Bible for 10 minutes every day this past week. And for those of us that could, that sort of do that before we eat any food even, that we would take in sort of our sustenance from God, in a way, through the scriptures, before we take in physical sustenance. And so that was the challenge, to read the Bible just for 10 minutes every day for the last seven days. For some people, that was a breeze, not a big deal, because perhaps there's already a rhythm of scripture reading in our lives. But for other people, that was like a challenge. It was hard and actually took some discipline and some concentration to do that. So for those of us that it seemed like a tall order, I want to ask the question, if it was challenging for us to be able to do that, why was it challenging for us to do that? Why is it hard to sometimes read the Bible? If the Bible is so important, as Doug sort of laid for our foundation last week, if it's inspired by God, if it's there for us, if it's infused by the Spirit, if the Bible is perfect, if the Bible guides us, if it's so wonderful, why is it so challenging for us to interact with it? Why does it sometimes seem to be the last thing we want to do? Why do we evade an interaction with it? I think there's a few reasons that I've reflected on personally, and then in discussions with some friends, we've also discovered that there's some common themes, at least in our culture and our society, why it's challenging for us to sometimes interact with the Bible, even if we have been Christians for a while, even if we've been following Jesus for a number of years. And one of the first reasons would be that we are actually unconvinced that the Bible doesn't actually have a place of importance in our lives. That we don't think that it's infallible, that we don't think it's inspired by God, and we don't think it has much measure or weight in our lives. So there are some people perhaps amongst us that do feel that way. It's like, I'm not totally sure if I think the Bible is really all that important in my life. So I think there are some of us that are thinking that way, and that's part of our journey for sure. There's probably a smaller amount of us. There's most of us that are gathered here consistently as Christians wanting to be together would pretty much say, yeah, I'm like, you've sold me on the Bible. I'm good to go. I do believe it is what it is. So that might not be the main reason. It could be one, though. I think the other two, for me, are the ones that I hear in conversation again and again, and have witnessed in my own life as well. We might have negative or improper views of the Bible. We might have negative or improper views of the Bible. Sometimes when people talk about opening the Bible, sometimes they'll say, I open the Bible and all I feel is bad about myself. Because I read these words and they're challenging, and I already know that I don't really feel like I'm living up to them. And so right away when I open the Bible, it's like there could be a sense of guilt or shame when I read the Bible. That can be challenging. That's kind of just to start off, we're going to talk about it more in-depthly, but right off the bat, that's like an improper response when we open the scriptures. That's a misunderstanding of the gospel, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. We can also feel daunted or challenged by it. I've heard people say, you know, when I open the Bible, I realize that I'm not opening an Archie comic, that I am opening this document that's infused by God's Spirit, that's meant to guide me and challenge me and shape me. And so reading the Bible is not just like reading a blog. It's this like an intense spiritual experience where there's like, you know, there's surgery going on in my heart. I'm being challenged. I'm being spoken to. All this stuff is going on. And sometimes it can be tiring to approach the Word away, knowing how deeply it's going to peer into my soul. And so we just go, well, I'd rather just not do that instead, because Netflix is easier, right? There's like, realistically, right? Rather than going, wow, I know that that's going to be intense. And so, you know, I've been in that season before. I have friends who said that. They're like, I've just avoided the Bible for weeks because, man, I know that it's going to be some serious transformation in that. And we'll talk more about that as well, why we don't necessarily need to be afraid of that. I think that the third reason, perhaps, that we don't interact with the Bible, and this one I think is more prominent than a lot of us would necessarily like to admit or have even recognized in our lives, and that's that we have a problem with our experience of it or our fact that we don't feel it's accessible. That we read it, and though we do believe cognitively that it's important, but we also just go, I believe it's important, but why is Leviticus important? Like, I don't know why when I'm reading Deuteronomy or 1 Peter or wherever, I'm reading these words that are supposed to feel important, yet I don't really know how they connect with my daily life right here, right now. And so that can sometimes cause some distance because we then maybe feel it's not all that compelling and we find other things to do. There might be a million different reasons why we struggle to read the Bible, but those are sort of some of the three major ones that I think in our culture that we wrestle with. So what we want to do this morning as we talk about those reasons that we have evade the Bible is actually to maybe lay some foundation for how we interact with the Bible. We talked about how important the Bible is and what it is last week, and this week we're talking about how do we approach the Bible in the first place. Before we've opened it, before we've read a word, before we've studied or made a note, what are our hearts, what are our attitudes, what's our position as we approach the Bible? So I have three really simple approaches for Bible interaction that we're going to walk through together today. And these are some of my thoughts from my experience. These are thoughts from reflecting on the scriptures. These are thoughts from conversations over the years. So I hope that they're helpful. First response, or the first attitude or approach that we have when we open the Bible is we have a relational approach. Reading the Bible means that we have a relational approach. Growing up, I was taught and lived in a home that weighed responsibility in a high way, which is a good thing. Discipline was important, and so discipline has not necessarily been something that's been difficult for me to grow into as a young man. And so sometimes my interaction with the Bible would fall into that category, which is a good thing. When we interact with the Bible, and when we read the Bible, there needs to be a level of discipline or rhythm. Sometimes, for those of us that are a little bit more strict and responsibility-first people, though, we can put the Bible into that category. For me, that's what I did. I got a Bible that was given to me when I was 18, and I had that through my young adulthood and through college and into ministry and stuff. And it's you know, got underlines in it, and I used it to study, and it was great. But if you go into some of the books that I had been reading when I was sort of 18 to 25 or so, what you'll see next to the chapters in books like Exodus are check marks. Now, I don't believe that check marks are inherently wrong. Okay, I don't think they're evil or God doesn't want us to use check marks. But sometimes I reflect back on a season when I was reading Exodus 32 and I see that check mark. And then in other books, I see two check marks, which means I've read it twice. And in a way, I think there were moments where I approached the Bible and I was like, I've done that. I'm a good person. And now Jesus loves me just a little bit more. Like that's, I don't think that like I would say that at the time, but internally I felt that a little bit. Do you know what I mean when I say that? So I look back and then I'm not too hard on myself, but I do see those check marks and I wonder what my approach is for that. There's a reason that we're using the words Bible reading and Bible interaction interchangeably. We believe that the Bible is a composition of God's word. It's living and active, as we see in Hebrews 4. And Doug highlighted this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 when he spoke this. And last week we had a different translation. This week's translation is a little bit different, gives you a bit of a different angle of this passage where Paul says this, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All scripture is breathed out by God. Last week the translation was inspired by God, which is accurate. This is just a different angle to it. This idea of breath or animation in the Spirit is important because it reminds us that we're not just interacting with a text, we're interacting with God by His Spirit through the text. So this means that God's word is filled with His breath, it's filled with His Spirit. And when we remember and look back to our own origins as humans, we look back to Genesis, and what are we but infused with God's Spirit? God breathed into Adam. We are filled with God's breath. And so when we read Scripture in any context, we're interacting with God's Spirit through the text. The Spirit of the text is the Spirit in you and I. And so God speaks to, serves, and ministers to us through the text by His Spirit. And this is what Doug was emphasizing last week when he said that when we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit is a reading partner or a reading buddy. The Holy Spirit is along with us, revealing God's character, revealing God's truth. And this is in the flesh. This is a live interaction. So God's word doesn't lack animation. It's filled with breath. It's filled with His Spirit. So when we approach the Bible, when we approach reading it, we need to approach it as we would any other interaction with a living being. We can expect and anticipate a back and forth with the Spirit. That's what Doug gave us, that example of how he prays. And it was something to the effect of, God, open my eyes and my ears that I can hear you and see you. It was something like that, right? And there isn't like a magic formula we're missing, though, right? That we should all, okay, just want to make sure. It's just a basic prayer of saying, God, I expect to interact with you. This isn't just me taking in information. This is me expecting to interact with you. And so we can't take what's meant to be a relational, formational experience and turn it into a chore. And some of us have a tendency of doing that. And I know that I can sometimes fall into that camp. So we need to redeem that. We need to say, I can recognize that I can tend to be that way, and I'm going to relationally approach the Bible when I read it. The purpose for reading Bible is not to earn favor with God. It's not to put a check mark and to say, Jesus must love me a little bit more now. That's not the purpose for reading the Bible. We have favor with God, and no amount of Bible reading, prayer, fasting, going on missions trips, none of that, we could do all of that with all of our time constantly, and none of that would make God love us any more or any less. We are loved by God. We're adopted sons and daughters. We have privilege. We have an audience with him, as Doug taught us last week. And so when we approach the Bible, we don't have to approach it feeling less than, like we need to somehow earn some merit so God will love us more. That's a misunderstanding of the gospel. We instead approach it relationally, where we get to know our Father, experience him, and let him transform us so we look more like him. Our identity and position in the family of God is not in jeopardy based on whether we read the Bible or not, or how good we are at spiritual disciplines. John says we are all God's children. So we don't read the Bible for approval or love. If we don't read the Bible for approval or love, why do we read it? We read it for the purpose of knowing God and becoming more like him, of experiencing God and his character and being transformed into his likeness. And this is why the Bible and prayer go hand in hand. Sometimes, I know I grew up like this. Occasionally I had this vision, like I'd read the Bible and then I would pray, and they were two very different activities, at least cognitively. That's sort of how I approached them. But in fact, they're very much one and the same, and they can't be divorced. The Bible informs prayer because we have to know who we're praying to. Right? We read about God's character, and that tells us who we're praying to. And the Spirit illuminates the text so we understand who this person is. There's a back and forth in that way. So we don't need to separate those two things. We can approach it relationally through prayer and experience God that way. So, closing question for this section. How do I know if I'm reading the Bible for merit or reading it relationally? Here's one thought. This is what I would reflect on. Does my sense of satisfaction come from completing the task of Bible reading or from the experience that I've had with God while reading it? Like, when I'm finished or when I'm in the midst of it or even before I've started, am I doing this and feeling a sense of satisfaction, like I've made that check mark next to the chapter? Or is it, God, I believe I've actually met with you as I've read the scripture? And we might not always have like this amazing mountaintop moment where there's like smoke and fire and everything we read about in the Old Testament. Maybe not. But is there some sense that, God, I have inclined my heart towards you, knowing that you incline your ear towards me, and we're going to interact in this moment? I think that would be a good question. Is my sense of satisfaction from finishing it, completion, or is the sense of satisfaction from the experience I've had with God? If it's the former, if it is from that task-oriented perspective, then we need to just simply repent, bring that to Jesus, and say, Jesus, thank you for your grace. I believe that the gospel is true, that you do love me, and that there's nothing I can do to make you love me more, and I pray that you would help that go deeper into who I am. That's just a simple prayer. So as much as discipline and routine and rhythm are involved with reading the scriptures, we must approach it relationally. So important. Second approach is a personal approach. And that might sound the same as relational, but it's a little bit different. We approach the Bible personally. Because we approach the Bible relationally, we therefore also approach it personally. And this is the basis of our faith. This is the whole basis of the Christian life. We approach God the person, not God the idea. We approach God the person, not God the philosophy, not God the thing, not God the force, God the person. That God is a person, and we approach God as persons ourselves, right? We're not an idea. We're not a philosophy. We're not robots. We approach God as persons ourselves. And so since we take this relational approach, we have to recognize that we are one half of that relationship. And sometimes I wonder whether or not I really take much of that into account, whether I just expect myself to sort of robotically interact with God, or I take into account that I'm actually a living, breathing person with emotions, feelings, personality, character, and tendencies. Any relationship, we know this from our interpersonal reactions, any relationship is a two-way street. We take interest in the person that we're getting to know, and we're also aware that our own personalities and tendencies and interests play into the relationship as well. Like, could you imagine, like, if I was married? I know it's a stretch. I know it's like a bizarre parallel universe where I'm married somewhere, but imagine if I was married. And imagine if I approached matrimony and I lived in matrimony with the belief and acted within it that somehow my character, my tendencies, my personality was not going to play into the relationship, was not going to impact it. That'd be ridiculous. That'd be a recipe for disaster, probably, if I didn't think that anything about me, the person, was going to impact that relationship. Of course it is. Of course it is. That would be an incredibly poor sense of self-awareness, wouldn't it? Horrible self-awareness. So we must read the Bible, I believe, with personality. God has a personality. God has character, and his word shows us this, but we also have personalities. So we should remember that as we experience the Bible. St. Augustine, when he talked about prayer, talked about having a sense of self-understanding, of self-awareness. He said, before we pray, we must realize that when we approach God that we already have a disorder of the heart, that our hearts are, in a way, out of joint or disordered. That even when we go to pray, we recognize that, God, I know that there are many things in my heart that I desire more than you. There are many things that I take more joy in than relating to you. And so right away, as I come to pray, God, I recognize that my heart is in disorder. And as I come to pray, I ask that you would reorder my heart. That's a level of self-awareness in prayer. I think we need to have that kind of self-awareness as well when we interact with the Bible. So how do we read the Bible with self-awareness? How to read the Bible with self-awareness? Just a few thoughts on that. First, know your maturity. Know your maturity. And when I mean maturity, I mean like in terms of your faith. Know your Christian maturity. I would consider myself a young man still. I'm 29, so, you know, getting up there. Not really. I know. Many of you laugh at me. Like, oh, if you know. I would consider myself a young man. And so even though I've been a Christian for most of my life, I still believe that I'm a young Christian. I still believe in many respects I'm immature in my faith. So when I approach the Bible, I need to recognize that I haven't got it all together, that I haven't got it sorted out. Even though I may have read certain books a number of times, I realize that the people that I know that have been Christians for 20, 30, 40, 50 years and serving Jesus faithfully with a beautiful relationship, I'm not necessarily at that place. I'm still learning about who God is and what his character is. And so we can do that each ourselves. How long have I been a Christian? What's my relationship with God like? Am I aware of my own maturity level? And am I bringing that into the relationship? Just like when you're getting to know someone, perhaps if you're interested in them romantically or something. Like, you know, if you've never been in a romantic relationship before, you should probably be thinking about that as you're getting into the relationship with them, because there's all kinds of things you don't necessarily know. So just having a sense of our maturity. And there doesn't need to be, you know, it's not like a race. We're not trying to, like, best each other in Christian maturity, but just need to be kind of aware of it. Know our capacity when we're interacting and reading the Bible. It's another one. Know our capacity. Some people here, if you said, what's your idea of a great Saturday night, they would say, sitting at home under a reading lamp with a book for 4 hours and a cup of tea, that is the greatest thing in the world. Others of us just want to die if someone said, that's what you have to do on your Saturday night, right? Like, no, that's the last thing I'd want to do. I want to be out dancing, and that's not how I dance, really. I'm a better dancer. If you're judging me on that, don't. You know, we have different things we'd like to do. So when we talk about interacting or reading the Bible, we need to be aware, what's my capacity even for reading or for literature? What's my capacity for that kind of a thing? If I haven't really read the Bible much at all, should I have the expectation that I'm just going to jump in and read it for 2 hours a day? Probably not. Just be aware of our own capacity and adjust our expectations because of that. Know your personality. Know your personality. Different people like to interact with the Bible in different ways. Some people who perhaps have little ones at home and they get some time with the scriptures, the last thing they want is more noise. And so all they want to do is sit in a quiet room and read the scriptures silently and just have a moment of peace. Other people learn better through writing, so it might be better for them to actually write the scriptures out as they're sort of reading along, going, yeah, I do like that verse. I'm going to write that in a book. Some people perhaps, they actually find that they interact better when they're speaking. They're kind of auditory learners, or they sort of learn as they talk. And so they might find it more interesting or compelling or interactive to actually read the Bible out loud. I find it interesting. There's so many people that I talk to, and they say they've never really read the Bible out loud or prayed out loud. Give it a go. Give it a go. Maybe it will change your interaction. For me personally, reading the Bible out loud is very powerful. Writing the Bible, very powerful. Reading the Bible silently, I fall asleep. So I have to do other things in order to interact with it. So by approaching the Bible personally, we need to recognize our own God-given personality and explore the Bible creatively as well. And that means we'd be aware of our own tendencies. So do I have a tendency of being like a route rhythm person? Do I tend to like turn into a means of merit? I should be aware of that and maybe guard against that when I'm interacting with the Bible. Or do I tend to be a person who's like, yeah, I'm going to read the Bible because I'm flowing in the Spirit. I'll get to it when I get to it. Maybe we need to be aware of that and say, it might be better for me to have some structure when I read the Bible because I know that I'll say I'm going to do it, but I'm not really going to do it. So having a sense of our own tendencies. By approaching the Bible personally, we recognize our own personality and realize that we can interact with God and the Bible creatively. So for me personally, this means that I need to be aware of the fact that even though I can be very structured, I have an extreme aversion to Bible reading plans. I think Bible reading plans are so good and they're so helpful, but I just don't like them, because I'm rebellious for some reason, and I feel like an imposed structure on me I'm not really a fan of. I would be way more interested in creating my own structure and creating my own sort of system for how I read the Bible, because I enjoy building systems and stuff. I don't like when others are sort of putting them necessarily on me. But you might be in a completely different way. You might say, my idea of a Saturday night is going and researching 17 Bible reading plans and figuring out which is the best one based on Google Analytics or whatever. I don't know, maybe your brain works that way. And then I'm going to put a chart on the board. Maybe that's how you interact with the Bible. That's great. Knowing our own tendencies are important. So for me, I have an aversion to structure, so I typically will like to build my own creative interaction. My capacity is limited. I can't expect to read the Bible for 2 hours every day, because I'm not reading the Bible for 2 hours every day. I hope I haven't disappointed you, but that's the truth. I can't dance very well, and I don't read the Bible for 2 hours every day. But to then think that tomorrow I'm going to do that might be a little bit of a leap, so I need to be aware of that. So personally, that's where I am. I need to understand my tendency towards just doing the Bible and reading it for merit, and knowing, okay, I can tend to do that, so make sure I interact with God relationally rather than just doing it as a means of merit versus a means of grace. And then realize that I can interact with the Bible in creative ways. And you might not think you're creative, but you are. Everybody's creative in some way, because you discover what way you are. So for me personally, I'll give you an example of how I interacted with the Bible recently in a creative way. This Christmas, we were walking through Advent, and in Advent, you go to a lectionary. In the church calendar, what you see is actually a reading for every day. And so typically in the week, there'd be 3 or 4 readings each day, and they'd be spread out all over the scriptures, and you would basically read each one, and they're relatively short. They're like a chapter or a few verses. And so what I did throughout the entire month of December, because I have a lot of time on my hands, is I would read the scriptures for Advent each day. I'd think about them a little bit, and then I'd actually use some poetry. I would actually write poetry based on that, because that's what I do with my spare time, to be honest with you. I do. I like biblical poetry. I find it interesting. So this particular one, you can see on the bottom right here, is from my journal. December 6th, we were in Psalm 85. We're in Ezekiel 36 and Mark 11. And so I read those passages, I thought about them a little bit, and I turned them into a haiku. And I found that that gave me life. That was enjoyable for me. That helped me think about the scriptures and think about God's character. So I was aware of my tendencies, and I sort of just incorporated creative ways of interacting with the Bible. You might say, the last thing I want to do is write poetry about the Bible, Luke, and that's fair, but that's how I interact with the Bible. And there's a bunch of different ways we can do it. And we're going to get more into that next week, more practically. All right, moving on, because we are running out of time. Finally, we need to have a practical approach when we read the Bible, when we relate to the Bible. A practical approach. Because we approach the Bible relationally, and because we approach the Bible personally, with personality, we also approach the Bible practically. We're not approaching it in the abstract. We're approaching a relationship, a very real relationship between God and ourselves. And no relationship is in the abstract. No relationship is sort of just ethereal. It's real. It's there. It's very much concrete. And so relationships and persons have facts. They have history. They have realities. And we can't escape those just by snapping our fingers. So when we approach the Bible relationally and personally, we're also going to approach it practically. As we said, we're interacting with God's Spirit through the text, through the Bible relationally. So we're interacting with God, the living being, but we're still interacting with him through a text. Through a text. This is a historical, ancient, diverse document. That's the fact. That's a fact of what this thing is. So just as we have to be self-aware when we approach the Bible, aware of our own nature, we also need to be aware of the Bible's nature and some practical things about it. It really is a two-way street. So the Bible is a varied composition. It was written over a period of 1,500 years. The last parts of it were written about 2,000 years ago. So this is an ancient document. Most of us don't interact with documents that were written 2,000 years ago other than the Bible, right? Think about that. You know, unless you're teaching history or you're a full-time student and you're studying history, most of us, you know, don't read the Bible and then go and read the Code of Hammurabi after that. We don't. This is usually one of the only ancient texts that we interact with. And so we might not always know how to interact with that kind of a thing. Wasn't written in English. Depending on what page you're on, you might find history. You might find a letter to a friend. We might find poetry. We might find predictions about the future. We might find analogy or literal practical instruction for day-to-day living that's actually as applicable today as it was then. But some parts of it aren't as applicable today as it was then. And that's just a fact about the scripture. It's the all-time bestseller. It's the most studied document in human history. And no one's come close to understanding it fully or getting to the absolute bottom of it. We're constantly still discovering things about the Bible, which is pretty incredible. It's a culture-shaping, history-defining, society-carving book. Millions have given their lives because of it. Cities and whole countries have been established based on its teaching. And you're sitting here in many ways because of that book. You're sitting here in this part of the world, in this way, in this kind of a gathering, because of this book. It's a staggeringly deep abyss of mystery, truth, history, lesson, and art. And so when we approach it, we need to approach it practically, aware of its nature. When I was young, we went to this cabin. I can't remember where it was, interior somewhere. And one of my favorite things to do when I was like 12 years old was get up really early before everybody else, and the cabin was on a lake. And you know, like first thing in the morning when the lakes are just, it's like just glassy and deep and black, right? What I would love to do is I would take a windsurfing board without the sail, and I would just take it out to the dock, I'd get on it, and I would just paddle myself out to the middle of this big, black, glassy lake. And I loved it. It was so peaceful. At the same time, it was terrifying. Do you know that feeling when you're in the middle of like immense, you know, deep, dark, calm water, and you're like, what's underneath this surfboard? I know there's no sharks because I'm in a freshwater lake, but there could be, right? There's this incredibly weird sense of like respect, but also peace, right? Of depth to explore and beauty to explore, but also respect for the fact that this is a massive body of water that reaches down to depths that I can't necessarily even fathom right now in my little 12-year-old mind. And I should be aware of that and approach this body of water with some humility. And that, in a way, I think is how we can interact with the Bible as well. It's beautiful, it's peaceful, it teaches us, refreshes us, But at the same time, we have to have a respect for how deep and wide and big, mysterious and beautiful it is at the same time. We said earlier, we need to be self-aware, embrace some humility, and have some fair expectations when we're interacting with the Bible. And we're going to talk more about how to practically interact with the Bible next week. The very last thing I want to say is this. A steady diet, a steady, healthy diet results in good health, right? When we eat well, we know if we eat well over a long period of time, science shows us that that is good for us. So having a steady diet, practically interacting with the Bible consistently is going to be good for us. So we should be a people of the book who attempt to interact with the Bible consistently, daily, making sure that we are getting our daily bread. And when we do that, we will experience health. Some of us may have felt last week when Doug shared that, you know, he's been reading the Bible every day for half an hour or an hour in the mornings, constantly for the last 15 years or so, we might have gone, Doug is so holy. That man, he's so nice, and he's so holy, and he's so nice, and we might have gone, I don't know if I could ever be like that. Doug is so holy that he reads the Bible every single day and prays every single day. That's not actually the truth. Doug is holy and Jesus-like because he reads the Bible and prays every day. It's not like he's got some kind of weird holiness about him that then gives him the strength to read the Bible. This health, this spiritual health that you see in our lead pastor is there because he's exposed himself to Jesus and the Bible in interaction daily, and that over time brings a great deal of health, and it's a beautiful thing. So we interact with the Bible practically. That means that we are ingesting it and experiencing Jesus every day through it in that manner. So I encourage you, you know, if you did read the Bible for 10 minutes every day, and that's something you haven't done, you did that last week, just keep going with it. Keep going with it. Approach it relationally. Approach it personally. And approach it practically. And next week, we're going to continue to talk about what it means to really practically understand and how to really get into and understand the Bible as well. Sound good? Yeah. Great. Let me pray before you go. Sorry we've gone a little over time. Jesus, thank you that you give us your Spirit, and you also give us something concrete that we can hold to and we can read and we can know is truth. And that is such a blessing to read a psalm or to read the narratives in the Gospels or to read how you're faithful to people in the past and know that you're also going to be faithful to us. So thank you for the book. And I pray that in this year, that each of us would grow in our maturity, that we'd grow in our hunger for you, and therefore our hunger to know your word and experience you through it. Thank you for the time that we've had together today. I pray you'd bless us, fill us with your Spirit as we go. Give us grace and peace throughout the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.